Amanda Gorman wrote, "Defining the frontline heroes, risking their lives for our own. Let us walk with these warriors, charge on with these champions, and carry forth the call of our captains. We celebrate them by acting with courage and compassion, by doing what is right and just. For while we honor them today, it is they who every day honor us." Amanda Gorman is a National Youth Poet Laureate. This was part of the poem she wrote and delivered just before the coin toss of the Super Bowl. We have talked about the pandemic in ways that is really frustrating and sad, given numbers that are depressing, and tried to be honest with where we are in this entire mess. Today, we're going to focus on the inspirational, like the story of the three people in Amanda's poem. They have worked harder to make the lives of those who they touch easier. We need more of that these days.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we
do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Amanda.
Great.
Hello, everyone. We're really excited to have you here, and even more excited to have you here with us. I'm Kristen.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Heather.
And this is Call Time.
And you know, we don't talk about event workers being frontline workers just in general. When they are called to work, when the event worker is called to work, it is to the front lines. And I find myself continually inspired by the willingness of event workers to do what it takes to make an event come off without a hitch. But more than that, what they are willing to endure. So we just had another Super Bowl, and for better or for worse, it was played in front of fans. What you don't see on TV, what is never shown, are the workers that arrive 8 hours before kickoff to make sure that all the details of keeping a large crowd safe are in place and ready. The event staff showed up and did what they could to enforce the mask mandate set forth by the NFL, to keep everyone distant and safe on international television, and they even chased down a field runner.
Which was hilarious.
please look up that video. Yeah. These people are always willing to show up and do the job, whatever it takes, to make everyone else's experience amazing. And very excited, as of February 8th, the NFL has informed the White House that all 30 football stadiums are now available to become mass COVID vaccination sites. This is exciting because if everybody can get vaccinated, we can all go back to work. Amen. Once again, if the workers are called, they will answer that call without hesitation. A group of people who largely go without thanks, but can't wait to do the job every single day.
Yeah, amen to that. And here at Call Time for Events podcast, we want to talk about the inspiration and what we do. There's a lot of it out there. The people we know who make the real difference, the large amount of hours behind the scenes preparations is mind-boggling, along with the training and information sharing to help those events run smoothly and ensure all aspects of the fans' experience are successful and safe. Mm-hmm. One person that comes to mind is our friend Casey. She's not only a manager working events, but she's also a huge fan of attending events, largely EDM, just like Heather.
She might rival Heather.
Yeah, I'd like to have them have an EDM off. Would be rad. But Casey's story is one that is very inspirational. Casey was attending a music festival when she was 21 years old when a storm rolled through and brought down a black locust tree on top of her, leaving her with a fractured spine, broken leg, shattered ankle, broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and severe head trauma, and ultimately led to her losing the lower half of her right leg. While the traumatic incident permanently disabled her, she has not let it hold her back in her life at all, and she's used this terrible life event to earn top marks for her dissertation on the experience of disabled people at music events and festivals while studying for her master's degree in international events and festival management, which she did internationally in Scotland. We are very pleased and honored to be able to know Casey and to be able to work with her, and maybe we'll have her on the podcast one day to tell her story.
We absolutely should have her on. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Her positivity and just her overall zest for life is just really inspirational.
It's incredible. And you would never, she, I mean, I literally get stopped up with so many thoughts that come to the front of mind when I think about Casey and working with her, because she's always positive. She's always happy. She embodies what I believe, which is worry about everything, panic about nothing. Like, I've never seen her panic. And there, believe me, are times, and maybe we'll have to do an entire podcast on times that we wondered if it was time to panic because of craziness going on. But that is never Casey. And she's the first one in to figure out and solve the problem. And she does it with this huge heart. I'm out of words to say good things about her. She's amazing.
I think she's great to work with because she doesn't ever hold back, and she doesn't ever say that she can't do anything. And she's always there to inspire others and to talk them into, you know, believing in themselves as well. So Casey's a huge inspiration.
Yeah. Let's promise ourselves right now with witnesses of all who are listening that we will get her on and we will talk to her.
Yes. That is a goal,
I promise.
Sure.
All right, Casey, thank you for being you.
Yeah. Well, personally, what comes to mind for me when I think about people working hard in our industry, and especially for having experienced it firsthand here in Denver, is working events in extreme weather conditions. Like, for example, people that stand out in like 11 degree weather, just freezing cold, just absolutely frigid, or wind, or doesn't even, you know, that the list goes for on days. And on. But they guard a post, or they ensure that a patron doesn't have a unfortunate slip and fall accident. You know, that person that's there in that position doesn't complain. They go home, they tell everyone that they were event and that they got to experience it, and they don't want thanks. They just want to have enjoyed it, and they want to talk about how much fun they had just being there, which I think is just amazing. And
it is amazing.
Absolutely.
It's a great example of how the good outweighs the bad almost always.
And those are the events that leave the more lasting memories and have the best stories.
Amen. And a lot of the events that we're talking about where they stood by those stairs, like, they were historic events. You know, people say, oh, I remember when I saw this on TV, and the people that are not asking for the thanks were there. They were there, and they get to say that. So that's really
incredible.
And they
get to have fun stories from it. It's always fun to have a fun story.
Oh, we have stories. Yeah. Yes, we do. We'll have to do a whole, oh, we have stories. Mm-hmm. I'm always, you know, I'm always blown away by the people who find joy in the job. And when you think about what they're doing, it's something that most other people would flat refuse to do. So think about like ushers at theaters. You know, I always have to bring it back to the theater.
Theater.
They are the first ones to arrive at the building on the day of a show to get the lobby up and ready to go. There's about 100 things you need to do to prep the lobby. And they're the last to leave. They're the last to leave for the night. And what's different about a theater usher versus an event worker is that the show is on a run and they've seen the show a million times and they still love it. They love it every single time. And I'm floored by that. But you really think about the usher. It is the usher who will catch the sketchy patron trying to enter the building that shouldn't be let in and refuse to let them in. It is the usher that will help the lost child that may have wandered out and escort them back to their family. It is the usher who will escort the paramedic back to a hurt performer if they were called, all without disrupting the show. Nobody's the wiser for the stuff that the ushers do. And they know the building better than everyone. They love it more than anyone. They are super fans of the show. And it's just one position that we don't think enough about. We don't thank enough of the ushers for doing it. And the theaters can't do without it. They can't do without them.
Very true.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I am here for the ushers. All right. So you guys, today, interview. We talked to Helen Slayton Hughes about her time in the pandemic lockdown, how she is coping, and we touched on her age. That's really important on this one. Helen is 90 years old, and she is an inherent risk when it comes to the virus. She, however, is a trooper, and it was really hard to keep her age in mind when we were talking to her because she was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, you may recognize her from the show Parks and Recreation, where she played Ethel Beavers. So,
Ethel Beavers! Court reporter.
Yeah, Ethel Beavers.
It's so funny.
enjoy the interview, folks.
useful to you?
Well, we're going to start with, just because, you know, this is the equivalent of putting butts in the seats if this were a theater show. So we wanted to ask you just a little bit about Parks and Rec, but we want to talk to you a lot about Limberlost and your current projects. And how COVID has slowed that down or opened up creative outlets that you didn't expect. Because your story just in and of itself is super inspiring. So you got the part. I can't imagine you thought Ethel was going to blow up the way she did and become this iconic comedic figure, because.
Never. I thought it was just one more audition for one more part, you know. And,
right.
Okay, I booked it. That's nice. And I did it. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, we want you back again. Thank you. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. So I did a total of 12 episodes, and I was so happy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you never know if for some reason I hadn't gone to that one audition, the whole thing would have not happened. So just, I always say yes. Say yes, yes, yes. Whatever it is, I'll take it. I'm
That's
sure
awesome.
Eventually you get more fussy, but I'm still in that mode.
That's how I feel sometimes. When we were working in the events industry and I would say yes to an odd band or work a sporting event that I would never originally have thought myself to be somebody to work that. I think that it just really adds a lot to life and you get to experience new things that you wouldn't typically do just because you said yes to working a job. So I can totally agree and relate to you on that part for sure.
Absolutely great. And Colin probably agrees with us, do you?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it sounds like that was like a carpe diem sort of moment where you just took it by the opportunity that was before you and you never know, you know, what you're going to get.
Well, actually, you know, Amy Poehler has been an angel to me because like last year I had an offer to be in a little movie. I thought, oh, why am I on this movie? But because it was, again, a small part, delightful. And it turned out Amy was behind it. You know, she had engineered for me to get this offer.
That's awesome.
She's so good. I absolutely adore that woman. And I think everybody else should, too.
I do. That's all I need. Okay. You say, I do.
She definitely seems like one of those people that's just as fun and funny and polite behind the camera as in front of it.
Yeah, but the thing that always got me was, you know, whenever there were a whole bunch of background people there, mm-hmm. she would go around and introduce herself to every one of them and welcome them to the set. You know, they because she made them feel important, and it was just so beautiful to watch. And yeah. She's very sincere about it, you know?
I love that.
That's excellent.
An Amy Poehler fan.
Same.
Yes, indeed.
I'm an Amy Poehler fan. I love that.
I'm an Amy Poehler fan.
That's right. How did you, and Colin and Heather, jump in any time that you have a question, but did you start when you were 10? Is that right?
About 10. I did a lot of singing. Actually, my mother was a beautiful singer.
Okay.
She used to go around and often was sung in concerts. And when I was that age, she took me around with her because for some reason I had a very mature sounding singing voice at that age.
Uh-huh.
So she let me sing with her. That was nice. But I've been doing all community theater for 30 or 40 years. In the Albany Schenectady upstate New York area. And I think that is the most wonderful thing in the world for any actor. Because you get the chance to do huge roles that you never would get in the commercial world.
Right. So, well, that was my question. How did you jump from theater to TV and film?
I didn't jump. I just kind of wiggled slowly. Okay. I think one thing, when I was in San Francisco, I got into a movie called Shoot the Moon.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Shoot the Moon, but that's where I played the dreadful lounge singer. But I was still doing theater there. And then I had gotten contracts, not huge ones, but good, solid workman contracts. And I got to sing and play the piano in a scene with Albert Finney and Diane Keaton.
Nice.
And I was supposed to be a dreadful lounge singer, and they were carrying on a tremendous fight while I was playing, "Don't Blame Me." At the end of it, Alan Parker, this marvelous director, you know, he came up behind me and hugged me, and he said, "You know what I love best about your character, Helen? That she can sing so dreadfully with no shame."
You're like, why, thank you.
Very first ventures into movies.
Oh,
and then, you know, I had another theater job, and I got, for some reason, I got onto Nash Bridges, which was shooting in San Francisco at the time. That's the time when I got the check for 2 days' work, and I said, this is more money than I've earned in 2 years in the theater. That was when I got more interested in pursuing TV and film.
Money talks.
Money does talk. I would like to say it doesn't, but it does. It speaks volumes. All right. Very cool. Colin and or Heather.
I actually do. Do you find yourself gravitating more towards a certain genre? Do you like acting in dramas or comedies?
I love to do both drama and comedy, but I am always hired for comedy. And typical of comic actors, I say, but I've done Mother Courage. You know.
I do know what that means. I know what that means. We had to read that. That's required reading as a theater major.
I think you're required to be in it also.
Yeah, no, I didn't have to be in it.
Where were you a theater major?
I went to New Mexico State University, and I studied under Mark Medoff.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah. And New Mexico, we got this wonderful new secretary.
We did.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yes.
Deb Holland.
Oh, I was thrilled with that.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
She does. I know a lot of people definitely were lobbying and really like heading initiatives to get her in there. So that's awesome.
I was just thrilled with that. The whole thing is thrilling, actually.
It is. And you were a part of it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was just to say, like, so you said that you've been getting little things here and there for the last 8 months, and you know, with COVID, everything's
no,
you haven't got anything.
Nothing was happening.
No,
so it's just the past few weeks that people have started working again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but 8 months there was absolutely silence from both of my agents. It was horrible.
That's again, pretty.
I was able to survive because I had the social security. But one of the things that amazed me was how careful these two sets have been. They take meticulous care of us every minute and make sure that every rule is followed. We're the COVID tested the beginning and the end of our days. It was just wonderful. I felt so secure, you know, on both of these sets. It was just, I hope all the sets act like.
That's great to hear, because that's what I was going to ask, was what kind of COVID protocols are they doing? And if they're testing you often, that seems to be.
We got tested like 3 days or two or three days before going on the set. And then just before, on the day of shooting, we got tested again so that in case anybody was positive, that would be recorded and people would have to go on lockdown. But nobody has been so far. But just, you know, two tests for every day you work. That's a lot, you know.
It sounds like, for me, I mean, from what I've seen, from what you've said and what we heard from Stephanie and what we've experienced at the few events that we've been able to be a part of here in Denver, it seems to me like even though the entertainment industry was, well, not even though, but being that the entertainment industry was the heaviest hit and we were the first ones out, we're the last ones back in, from what I've seen is that the entertainment industry has been taking this whole situation just as serious as the medical field, if not more so.
Aren't we proud to be part of it? Because
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
I just have to know, did you hear Tom Cruise's audio? He yelled at the cast on his new Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been ferocious.
Yeah, do you agree with what he did?
I absolutely do. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
I do.
Yeah, I finally heard it and I was like, yeah, I'm not mad.
So many people have been mincing words about what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody tells it like it is, like it really is, and not like a made-up story, it makes me happy.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not naming any names.
I think what he had to say was very poignant, because one of the things that he said in that recording was the care for everybody being down for so long, and people are dying, and like show some respect for the whole situation. And that was great to hear. So
yeah, and movies and TV shows are job creators. You know, they're creating jobs, because if you can get on a movie or a TV show, you are working, and that's important. And
as a matter of fact, there's even more jobs per film or per episode because of this COVID thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very true.
Kind of switching gears a little bit, but I know that the lockdowns in California have been, you know, even more strict than other parts of the country. So we just wanted to hear, you know, how that specifically affect you, if it did. And also, because we've all kind of been through this lockdown, experience through the pandemic. And I know a lot of us have picked up, you know, random little hobbies or done things around the house. I was just kind of curious on like a more personal note, how you've been filling your time, and also, kind of segue into you telling us about the projects you've been working on that Kristen told us about.
Well, for many, many years, acting has been the first thing on my agenda, but then I've always been writing as well as a secondary thing in between jobs. So that has continued. I think I've done more writing those 8 months, then because I didn't have the jobs. So,
and what
variety
is your
acting? I mean, writing projects I've been working on.
Yeah. What do you have plans for those writings?
So many things, that the wonderful things that have happened haven't been planned at all, and I don't plan much. But like the Limberlost thing was out of the blue. Because I have been thrilled because, it's about a 16-year-old girl and conservation issues and how she learns that she has the power to influence for good, you know. And this is right now, Santa Ana College, which is a 2-year college, is working on a virtual production of Limberlost. It's the second 2-year college that has gotten involved in doing something with this show. And the more I see it, the more I wish that would be, talk about plans. The wonderful thing, I think, would be if more colleges and even high schools got a hold of this script and started doing things with it. And I hope that we can have productions done by schools and colleges in the future. I mean, I have no desire to, for it to go to Broadway. I don't care about that. But I want it to be something that can be used for the potential empowerment of young girls, and for a sense that they could have the power to influence life. So anyway, anyway, we started out, I think they started out in September working on this virtual production, and I was able to go to the Zoom rehearsals of this, and that was so thrilling. But now they were planning, talk about plans, to stream this in December. And since then, the teacher's husband has been in the hospital with COVID. They lost two kids for being sick with COVID, had to replace others. So now the current deadline is summer. You know, they've had to postpone everything and do it more slowly. But they're still, to my amazement, just pushing ahead with it, doing everything they can. And they've made the dearest little trailer for it. It's all black and white, which just shows the various characters in it, what's going to be being there. All of the characters are being played by 18 and 19 year olds.
Nice.
These are the 40-year-old characters, the 70-year-old character, all played by kids. Wonderful. So this has opened up such possibilities to me, you know, for expanding it out into schools and seeing what they can do with it. It's good. That's all.
Well, I am personal friends with lots of college and high school teachers of theater. I'd be happy to pass it on.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very exciting to me.
Well,
sound exciting.
It's who you know in the business. It's who you know. So let's do kind of a fun little speed round of just questions. And you can tell us as much or little about the question as you'd like. You can pass, but we'll do just a fun little speed round. So I'll start so that Colin and Heather can think of a question.
I've got one.
So my fun question that I like to ask everybody is, do you have a favorite job that if you could do again, you would, that you've done?
Would it have to be professional? Or I have so many favorites in theater.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
community theater.
Just in general. Do you have a favorite?
I love doing.
Do you have a favorite role? What's your favorite role that you played?
Well, let me see. I keep going back to Mother Courage.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hey, there you go.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's all the old, like, Queen Margaret and Jocasta. All those Shakespeare-y type and Greek-y type.
I was like, well, Jocasta, you know, she did not end well. So
so it goes.
That is a show I've done. I've done on stage. Is Oedipus.
Oh, which one?
Oedipus Rex.
Oh, good. And what did you play in Oedipus Rex?
Sound designer.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. But our Jocasta was brilliant. She was amazing. Yeah. That's great.
That's great.
Wonderful. Yeah. But when I think of the thing, well, sure, because, you know, so many of my roles have been like 10 lines. But, you know, I do a role night after night after night, and it's huge and wonderful. Those are the ones you remember.
Amen. That's awesome.
That's great.
Heather, Colin?
Okay, I'll go.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you have one piece of advice for anybody starting out in this industry or somebody who wants to be successful in this industry, what would you say?
I might go back to just what you and I said. That if anybody wants you to do something and you don't know if you know how to do it, just do it anyway and you might learn how to do it. And that's... I mean, just keep trying things. Yeah. That's all.
Got it. All right, Colin, pressure's on, man.
What's the secret to the fountain of youth? Because you've got it.
If you ever find out, let me know.
That is awesome. All right.
I'm in the fountain of old age right now, so I don't know about this youth stuff.
Well, you look and sound great, so.
You do look
great. Colin. Agreed. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It has been.
Thank you for inviting me to be here.
You're such a blessing. Yeah, we're blessed. So you take care. Let us know.
Bye.
Bye.
That was excellent. Thank you to Helen. She is so wonderful. She's great to talk to. I can't believe that she's 90, first of all, because she's just so full of energy and life. And I'm sure she's got a gajillion stories, more than what we just heard.
100%.
So, yeah. And also make sure you check out the Super Bowl commercial that she was in. She told us it took about 80 workers and 6 hours just to get her spot exactly right. That is amazing. I really enjoyed that commercial, but my favorite commercial was the Will Ferrell electric car in Norway. And that was, oh my God, that was fantastic. The electric cars. That was great.
And he didn't even make it to Norway.
Yeah. No, he went to Sweden, but he said it was adorable.
Do you think that's like a real thing? Like Norwegian folk are like, oh, I am not from Sweden. Do you think that's like...
Yes, it is. Yes. From what my experience is from meeting people that are actually from Scandinavia, you can't confuse them for others. Like, you don't say Danish people are from Sweden or Swedish people are from Finland or,
My experience with people from Norway are that there's no such thing as an ugly Norwegian. I don't believe there is one, because all of the ones I've met are incredibly beautiful, smart, and awesome. So go Norway. Go Norway.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. When you tell some people that you're from Las Cruces, do they say, oh man, Texas must be beautiful? And do you get offended by that?
Oh no, they don't say that. They say, oh, you don't look like you're not from the United States of America. They flat take away my citizenship.
So they think you're from Mexico, not New Mexico.
They think 100%. You need a passport to live 100% in New Mexico.
Well, there you go.
I'm proud. I'm like, yes, I'm American, but if I wasn't, that's fine too. Mexico's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel about it.
There you go.
Same.
Okay. All right. You two. In our first interview, not with Helen, we did not subject her to this torture, but we did subject Stephanie, if everybody remembers, to a speed round of 5 questions, and we got really good responses to that. So I'm going to put you two, and I'll go through the ringer with you. I'm going to put you through the ringer. We're going to do the 5 questions because folks were really interested, and it has to be really fast. Like, don't even think about it. It has to be really fast. Are you ready?
Ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. 5 questions. Get your brains going. Here we go. 5 questions. First event ever attended, me, Charlie Pride. What? Who? Yes, Charlie Pride.
That's fantastic. Mine was Ray Charles.
Heather.
And I attended a Linkin Park tour when I was in high school.
High school. Okay, whatever. All right. Excellent. favorite event ever attended, me. Ooh, so many. Styx. Concert. Live. Like 7 times. Yes. Anything right sticks.
On. I mean, I've seen 311 almost 35 more times. I lost track, but the 311 in Vegas in 2020 was
2020. Excellent. Heather.
And then for me, I attended the Electric Daisy Carnival in Vegas 5 times. So.
Yeah, Vegas.
Wow.
It has hundreds of artist status.
I got to up my Styx participation and get to more concerts to catch up with you. Okay. Excellent. I don't know. Styx is the best. All right. Okay. First event ever worked. You got money for this event. It's the very first event you ever worked. For me, it was, I collected a paycheck when I was 18 years old for a production of West Side Story.
Mine was a air show at the Jefferson County Airport. I forget what it's called now, Rocky Mount Front Range. I can't remember what the name of the airport is now, but it's in Jefferson County right by the Flatirons Mall. It was an air show.
Woo-hoo. 2-day event. two-day event.
The first one I remember working was the Fray at Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Nice. That's very, yeah. It's very historically iconic of you. That's awesome. Uh-huh. Okay. Last two questions. If we push play on your, not what kind of music do you like to listen to? I want to know the song that was interrupted to do this recording. If we push play on your playlist right now, what song will we hear? Colin.
Linoleum by NoFX.
I don't know that song.
It's a punk rock song. It's great.
Very uncharacteristic of me, but Up by Cardi B.
Up by Cardi B. Sweet. Okay, mine is...
That's right up your alley. Just kidding.
Mine is Not Sticks. Here's a shocker. It's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Oh, what a classic.
No, listen. I will tell you, till the day I die, one of the best moments of my life was that I was part of a group. We had a big group at Disney, and there is a roller coaster there called Rock and Roller Coaster, and it's a roller coaster that is synchronized to the music of Aerosmith. And so they play Aerosmith's music in the queue area, and the people I was with engineered it so that when this song came on, everybody in the queue area, and I'm talking thousands of people, turned and sang it to my daughter.
Wow.
It was amazing. Story.
That's
it
hilarious.
Was amazing. No, it's fully, and I've got witnesses. I swear it happened. Okay, last question. If we open up your streaming service, whatever it is, however you watch TV, what is the first show or movie that we will see on your recently watched? For me, it's a really funny new series, highly recommend, called A Resident Alien.
Nice. Ah. Mine is Rescue Me.
Okay.
And mine is Bridgerton.
Oh my gosh, Bridgerton, fully addicted. Cannot wait for the next 100,000 seasons. Colin, what's up? That was like 10 years ago. Yeah, 2021 called and said, welcome.
Well, when you've been working two or three jobs since 1997 and you're pretty much home to sleep or eat, and any TV that you do get to watch is probably your favorite sporting events, like the Avs or the Broncos or something like that or whatever. You don't really get engulfed in TV series. So now that this pandemic has happened and we've pretty much been locked to our homes for the last year, I've been able to catch up on television from the 21st century.
Excellent. I expect the two of you to catch up to me and become Marvel fans by the end of the pandemic. Thank you. I've just put it on
our Ooh, I don't know about that one. That's a tough order to fill.
Hey, I'm still in the early 2000s here, and Marvel hadn't really taken off just yet, so I'll get there.
Yeah. Well, that was super fun for us. We hope you guys listening had fun. You guys should go ahead and pop over to our social media and give us your answers. What would you
Please,
answer?
We want to hear it from all of you.
Yeah. So thank you again for tuning in. We are super excited to be up and running again. You have no idea. We missed you guys. So please join us next time when we talk about the fact that it has been almost a year. Say it with me.
A year.
Since this crazy pandemic hit. And where do we go from here? And because we all need to be getting back to it. We miss it.
Amen.
We love it.
Amen.
So I have concert withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
It's an actual condition.
Yep, it is.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
See you next time on Call Time for Events. See our social media pages.
Yes, please do. Right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.